Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey listeners, John here. First off, let me say Happy New Year. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season. Due to some scheduling issues and some things that needed to be moved around, we wound up having a bit of a break here on Ladder Talk, but we are back just in time to share some breaking news about a new partnership between our two guests for today's episode. First is Jens Grudenow, the current CEO of Dovo, the German straight razor company that's been around for over 100 years. And second, we have wet shaving artisan Peter Tricalis, the owner and operator of Ariana and Evans. Learn more about what this team-up has in store for the wet shaving world in just a little bit. But first, some housekeeping. I'd like to welcome aboard our newest patron, Daniel Frizzell. Thank you so much, Daniel, for your support of the show. If you have the means and would like more information on supporting Lather Talk through our Patreon, head over to www.patreon.com/lathertalk. Again, that link is www.patreon.com/lathertalk. And now, let's get on with the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Lather Talk. I'm your host, John, aka Lather Hog. With me is my co-host, Gerard. Hey, Gerard.
Hello, everybody.
And we have two very special guests for today's episode surrounding a very special announcement, which we'll get to just in a little bit. But first, over in Germany, we have the CEO of Dovo, and that is Jens Grudenow. Jens, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation. I'm really happy to talk to you guys.
And we're very happy to have you here. And with us is a returning guest to Lather Talk. He is the owner-operator of Ariana and Evans, the shaving shop and club, shaving shop and the club. And that is Peter Tricalis. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Jens, good to see you.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, so we have two. Yeah, so we have two lovely guests with an announcement. But before we get into that, special announcement, let's just hear a little bit more about our guest today. So Jens, since it's your first time on the show, let's prioritize you. So can you give us a little bit, just a little bit of background of yourself, including how did you become part of Dovo or vice versa?
Sure. So first of all, excuse if I say anything that sounds a bit wrong in English, because my first language is not English. So I was born in Germany and started out in finance, which was boring after a couple of years, and decided to go to Berlin, where else? At least to the German startup capital, and worked in a couple of startups for large corporations like Rocket Internet. And then went into the luxury watch space, also with a startup that is a buying and selling platform for watch dealers and private people. And then started three own businesses in different fields. One was luxury furniture. One was importing stuff and selling it online, which was harder than I thought before starting it. Just like Dovo, basically. And then started something in the medtech space. Elderly care, did that for 3.5 years. And after that, found out through a friend who worked for Dovo as an external consultant on online marketing and built their website, their web shop and stuff like that, that his bills weren't paid. And why? Because Dovo actually had to declare bankruptcy, unfortunately, last year. So in April last year. And he already talked to me about Dovo for the years before when he worked for Dovo as an external consultant, was a super fan. So his first knife was, first razor was from Dovo. He bought it at a secondhand flea market. And we got to talk. And he basically said, hey, this is such a good brand. I really love it. It's such a shame that such a great product that isn't built that often anymore. goes bankrupt and basically vanishes from the earth. And yeah, after talking for many, many, many hours, I think the first talk was 8 hours. We couldn't talk, exchanging thoughts. And yeah, then one came to another. And 8 months later, six months later, I took over the business with some other people also from the startup world. We said, look, how about we combine the 115-year-old skill set of the company and the people there with a mindset that is more open and hopefully more used to the current market situation, how to approach clients and how to get feedback from clients, how to test products early that you don't throw stuff on the market that doesn't work, and stuff like that, right? So all the design thinking stuff from Berlin startup, the bullshit bingo from the Berlin startup scene, combined those insights and ways of working with the very, very old tradition of basically working like 115 years ago of building straight razors. Yeah, that's how I came to Dovo. So complete different topics in my life before, and then got brainwashed by one friend, fortunately, looking into Dovo, and got hooked so fast with the whole topic that it was, I couldn't say no. It was just too interesting. The people involved were too interesting. And just the topic of taking a very blunt object of steel and making something where you can actually shave yourself, that's just beauty in itself. It's just so, so interesting. And it would just, we had to save it, the company. Mm-hmm. There was no way around it, basically. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
That's the short version.
Yeah, yeah. and just to get a timetable, so when you did take over, you said that was, the Dovo had declared bankruptcy back in April of 2020. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so within about six months from there, or maybe 6 months from when your friend had spoken to you about the company is when...
No,
he
basically talked to me a bit later.
Yeah,
when his first invoices didn't get paid, and then we started talking to the attorneys that wanted to sell parts of the business or the whole business, and then had a very intense phase of back and forth discussions of due diligence, looking into everything, talking to the people, trying to figure out, as me as an outsider, is the company something that the market and the clients and the fans and the super fans actually want? How strong is actually the brand still? And am I, as someone that is completely new in that area, at least in that business area, able to turn around the business with a strong team? And then it was 5 months later where we actually signed the contract. It was a couple of days before we took over, very close. And then first of October of 2020, we took over the operational management of part of the business, unfortunately.
Okay.
So Dovo was before three parts. It was shaving business, then scissors, like for nails and skin and hair and beard, and nippers and stuff like that. So other pedicure, manicure tools. Those were very in the red already for 10 years before. And this the shaving business always saved the other parts of the business, right? Without the shaving business, Dovo wouldn't exist years before.
Yeah.
So for us that we didn't really know the business inside out, we said, look, it's too dangerous to go into bankruptcy again if we take over the whole thing. So we said, okay, we can focus on the shaving business, bring down the portfolio to the stuff that actually is wanted by the clients, and then expand from there with different other products, right? For example, with, in my opinion, because I tried many, many of them, one of the best soaps in the market, from scent, from the feel, from everything. I have very dry skin, and I tried A&E, and basically I think on the day I tried it, either I wrote you or tried to call you.
So
expand the portfolio basically from something that we first brought down to the essentials.
And then
we started basically from the start, first focusing on operations, right? Streamlining the operations inside, looking at everything.
Sure.
Because it is a 115-year-old company, and many, many things were still done like 115 years ago, but many things were already, you had to change something, right? Some things should stay 115 year old traditions, others not, right? Especially if you say, okay, I want to actually have a profitable business somehow. Yeah, so we first focused on operations, then started developing new products right from the start almost. Many products got developed for too long, not just from internal side, but also from partners. It's not the partner's fault, but it's just the raw material they had to get in order to give them to us, right? Sometimes instead of 4 weeks, now it takes 10 weeks, 12 weeks. So everything got pushed back a bit. So now we have a huge load of new products coming in the first half of year of next year, which we wanted to launch already for Christmas this year. Mm-hmm. And one of that products is fortunately three soaps that that are going to come out.
Yeah. So, well, you know, since you brought it up, however you'd like to do it, we fast forward to now after you've taken on Dovo. And so the special announcement, which you've alluded to already.
We can cut that out.
Just get that out. Get out in front
of
it.
Just get it out. We can start over.
It's that. Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, so as Jens alluded to, he tried Peter's soap from Ariana Evans, fell in love with it, reached out to. We will circle back to on Peter's end because I've heard a little bit about that communication, but just I think, you know, that's obviously telling on how quickly you reach out to him. But three soaps made in partnership, Dovo and Ariana Evans. And as a wet shaving hobbyist, as someone who makes a podcast over what people just do normally and don't think about it after they're done with it, after they shave for the day, very excited for and Jens mentioned it, just like how long has Dovo, you know, over 100 years been making straight razors, you know, just helping men's grooming. And Peter, also a fellow enthusiast who wanted to make his own products, and now it's, you know, part there's so much to this, right? Like, you get to partner with Dovo, it's cool, Dovo modernizing and working with shave soap artisan. So very exciting news. Yeah, let's go back to Jens actually on this. So you tried, you know, you tried Peter's soap, fell in love with it, reached out. So can you elaborate a little bit more? So you reached out to him, and was there some back and forth? Like like was there already just like the idea, like let's do a soap together and see if you're up for it? Like can you just describe a little bit about how the genesis of this kind of partnership started?
So when I think Dovo had soap before, not I think, but I know we had them in the portfolio, and I tried them out and I didn't like them at all. Like my skin was dry. People were buying it somehow, but it wasn't at the top at all. So I went to, I think, three websites and bought all soaps that they actually had on offer. And they had an A and E, no, actually three of them. I can't remember what the scents were. One was Kaizen. One was, do you remember? Peter?
Was it Asian Plum? Was Asian Plum?
Yes, correct. Yeah. And another
and
one.
And I forget.
I tried three, and many, many other brands from the ones from the UK, the bigger ones from artisan ones. And they all had something where I said, okay, this is not perfect. I had in my mind a very, very top notch, the best soap ever. For myself, I have dry skin. I have rather thick hair, but not too thick hair. Okay, it has to feel perfect, right? Even if it takes me longer to shave, it shouldn't dry out. The skin shouldn't dry out. The feeling should be as if there was an oil film on it the whole time, even if you go on over it twice and stuff like that. The scent should be perfect. Shouldn't be too pungent in the nose, right? If you use it, and afterwards, that if you want another cologne, that it doesn't somehow compete with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the first one where I actually said, okay, this is actually perfect, that nothing has to be changed, right? With others, I always said, okay, this is plus, this is minus,
mm-hmm.
where there wasn't really anything where I would say, hey, this is something I would change, was the soaps from Peter. And then I think I wrote you an email and said, hey, love your soap. We are currently trying to get a partner for the soaps, and why don't we talk?
Yeah, yes. I remember receiving it. And so I told John this. I know I told you this, Jens. I thought I was being trolled.
So, I was going to ask the exact same thing. I'm like, did you open this in your spam folder?
No. So I was on my way. I think I received it when I was just boarding the plane. I was going to St. Martin. And so I figured, I looked at it briefly and I said, it's just, I'm being trolled again. And then I opened it up while in at the hotel, and I still thought it was a troll. So I didn't respond right away. And I looked up, I looked up his name to see if he really was a CEO. And then I saw that you were. So then I did respond. I think the following day I responded. And but that's so that's pretty how the quick, communication. Yeah. Yeah, that's how the communication started, really. Yeah. But I had to do a Google search first because I didn't think it was real. Dobo is going to contact. I mean, you know, small yeah. artisan.
Yeah.
And so I was really I was flattered. I was shocked. Mm-hmm. And then that shock turned into I was just really, really honored and flattered that that Jens would even know who we are. You know what I mean? So that was really cool. It still is cool. So that's really how it began. And I remember when we had our first conversations, you were telling me the story, how you were, you know, trying all these soaps and you kept coming back to A&E, which was really super cool. So we were deciding, I think originally we were just going to do one soap.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. But then it kind of turned into, so I gave him, ideas. Yeah. So he gave me some ideas on what mm-hmm. he wanted. Mm-hmm. And so I created some stuff. I put some stuff together and I sent him samples. And the first go, you know, kind of liked, but needed, I think you had said there's too much of an almond type scent on one or something yeah, like that.
Too sweet. And, I don't like sweet stuff.
Yeah. 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 So we made some adjustments and he goes, let's go with all three. That he really liked all three.
Wow.
So, so one soap turned into three. And so this is so I developed the new vegan base for the, this is how the VR1 came about. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really good, vegan base. I'm excited for Jens to really give it a go because it's every bit as good as, well, I think it's actually at this point better than Kaizen and it's probably on par with K2 or K2E. So, and that's the feedback that I've actually received mm-hmm. from some folks. So two of the soaps are going to be vegan. And one is going to be in the K2 formulation. Oh. So it's going to be, I'm not going to go into too much detail on what the set notes are yet until okay. we make the official announcement. But one's going to be a leather scent. The other's a barbershop. And one is going to be, Jens fell in love with Kaizen. And so we kind of redesigned Kaizen. Oh. So it still has that familiarity, mm-hmm. But it's different. So so if someone already has Kaizen, they'll still maybe want this because it's different enough. So those are the three. So the one that's tallow is the leather scent.
Yeah, if it's and together, nice.
Yeah, the packaging is it's really, really great. Jens did a great job with that. I think Jens, maybe you could talk about the packaging because it's really unique what you're doing, I think.
Yeah, when trying many, many soaps, so basically in my office I had a huge, huge table and my colleagues went a bit nuts because when they came into the office it smelled like soaps, right? The whole thing. One is very, very sensitive when with smells, right? She can smell something a mile away. So she hated me for it. I had to clean up pretty fast. But I put it that, okay, on the left side, it's the really, really good stuff, right? The further left, the better it is. The further right is, the worse it is, right? In a combination of how it feels, how it dries out the skin, and how the shave is the post-shave. The post-shave. And his were always completely on the left side, right? And the first round that came, like Peter said, was, okay, I thought, okay, From what you wrote, the ingredients, what they are, from all the oils that are inside, I had a super high expectation. And it was below the expectation. I'm like, shit, did I do the right choice? And then the second round, I almost cried. I went completely nuts. I opened the first one. I think it was a leather one. I'm like, damn, this is insane. It's like you're actually biting into leather. but a good kind of leather, right? You actually want to bite inside of it. And it's the most intense leather I've ever smelled of all the soaps that I tried, and every other scent, right? From perfume and stuff like that. There's nothing that comes close to it. So I was super, super excited. Okay, it's going to be it. I opened the second one. And like, okay, this also has to be it. Opened the third one and then said, okay, we have to do all three.
Wow.
And then I think I directly wrote you or tried to call you because I said, okay, this is insane. Like from just one feedback loop to go way beyond expectations makes me smile a lot, right? So I was very, very excited for a couple of days. And then said, okay, not just from how it feels and smells, it should be really, really special, or it is very, very special, but also the packaging just has to reflect what is inside. And so we went and looked back and forth. Okay, we didn't want to go really for plastic. You want something that people don't throw away afterwards, that they can use again. So we went for handmade porcelain or stoneware from Portugal. And went for a cork lid that is manufactured for us. And that's what we're actually waiting for at the moment, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So it is quite special. Right? You open it and it always seems like there has to be something special in there, like a treasure or something, right? So it reflects what inside. So and I think it's the whole experience, right? I know most people ask me, okay, what can the price of the different components be? Basically said, okay, you want something, for example, stoneware. And they said, okay, what's your max price? Because we have to go there. And I said, okay, do whatever you do the best. Tell me the price. We let up the prices, put on a margin, and that's what we sell it for, right? Instead of going from this is the price you want to sell it for minus the margin, and then we have to squeeze someone or go for a number two or three of our priorities because otherwise we can't afford because the margin goes too small or something, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, look, let's have the best soap, the best packaging people actually want to keep. And the colleagues at the office at Dovo, they actually bought parts of the things for Christmas presents. So it's a good signal. People look at it and say, okay, how much can I pay for just this, even without the soap, right?
Yeah.
So that's, I think, is a good statement of that we made the right decision. And for other products that we're developing at the moment, I think it's the same thing. And the packaging, which we're updating, right? It's always, okay, let's do the best thing and people will value it. Even if the price is a bit higher than others, but I want it to last and especially make an impression one, even if you open it, not just if you put it in your face.
Yeah. The jar is beautiful. Do you have a sample with you?
I'm not in Zulling. So I'm at my wife's house in a tiny town. So I have nothing with me, unfortunately.
I think Peter's going to go look. So,
John, that just in general, ooh, that is nice. Yeah. And then it has a cork top.
So this will have a cork top.
Yeah.
And I had to mold. So this was the jar that he gave me as a sample. And the challenge for me was I had to create molds to have these molded. I also had to make the soaps harder so they wouldn't, so they weren't too soft. So you know how cropes are softer soaps, they won't hold its... So I had to make harder soaps for this project. So I had to create molds specific to this jar, and we'll ship them out that way. So the jar is absolutely gorgeous, isn't it?
Oh, are you able to tilt it to, the contents towards us, toward the camera?
Yeah. Well, I have soap.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
yeah. So, but it's really beautiful, and these are all handmade.
They're handmade in Portugal, yeah, and hand. So the finishing is handmade. You can also see the slight differences in every bowl.
I don't know if you can see it.
Is it textured?
The glaze, I can see a little bit. There's a line, but that'd be very sleek.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm using them for yogurt now in our office, so they're nice.
So Jens, thank you for sharing a little bit about kind of how I think even how you decided to approach this, this soap and kind of how it's priced out. Price margins and all that. I think I wouldn't be wrong in saying this is a luxury product, someone who's really, really enjoying their shaving and grooming experience. I'm wondering, as far as like the target customer though, is it something like, do you think it's like only for like the diehard wet shaving shaving enthusiast, the average person on the street, or no limits to either category?
So I'm not into the shaving business or hobby that long. And so if I'm excited, I think most people will excite it, right? If I'm a super niche enthusiast of something, whatever it is, right? Could be socks, could be knitting, could be, I don't know, glasses.
Yeah.
If I'm excited about it, then it doesn't mean that anyone else is excited, just my niche, right? But I have the bit perspective from where I was 1.5, 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. With zero knowledge. And I have now the insights from also people, getting people into Dovo and showing them around, talking to them, people that have 300, 500 knives, and really collectors that also have 300 soaps sometimes.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
So if their feedback is perfect and the people that are not into shaving yet is great, then we have the right product, right? So I don't target a very niche group or the whole market. It's just, okay, if I really love it so much compared to others, then it doesn't matter if you're an enthusiast or if you just want to make a nice present to someone, if people will love it.
Yeah. And I think what's great with partnering with Jens is that, you know, Dovo has this this customer base, you know, this loyal customer base. And also they have these retailers throughout the world. So it's a global company. Everyone knows who Dovo Mercur is, right? You go to a boutique store. So you go through a brick and mortar store. If you're going to see a razor, you're going to see a Mercur razor, right? Or if you're going to see a razor, you're going to see a Dovo razor for sure. So a product like that's going to be sitting on the shelf. People are going to look at it and they're going to, you know, they're going to want to open it up and smell it. And, you know, so I think, yes, for a hobbyist, you know, my customer base will be excited about it. But there's a very, very large customer base out there of wet shaving enthusiasts that are not necessarily hobbyists, that are a part of, you know, Reddit or Facebook or, you know, these other social media groups, but they love wet shaving and they love nice things. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they don't even think of themselves as a hobbyist, but they just love wet shaving. So you're going to have the hobbyist market. You're going to have the customers that Dovo has, those loyal customers. You're going to have our customers. So I think it's open to really anyone who wants a really good product and beautiful packaging. And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It'll be available, you know, throughout the world. So anyway, that's my take on, I don't think we should pigeonhole any particular group of people. I think it's really anyone who wants a nice product and beautiful packaging.
Not getting enough drama, talking smack, or hooligan hijinks from your regular forums, social media, or Reddit? Well, the Lather Talk Discord is not for you. Sorry to disappoint, but if you're looking for a cool place to hang out with fellow traditional shaving degenerates, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware, software, and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
I have a question, if we're not ready to like reveal this, like one, is it just going to be soaps? Or are there going to be any post-shave products? And
so matching splashes as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And would it be too much to ask, like, what's the price, retail price going to be for the products, or are we not ready for that yet?
Not yet. In January.
Okay. Got it. All right.
In January. It might be that the cost basis for some products, for example, for the bowls changes, because for the reordering, it might be the first thing is a test, which is still quite big, but it's still a test for us. We still have to see for the bowl and the cork and other stuff. The prices increased quite a bit to see if the price we imagined is still doable or not, right? So until we release, it might slightly change still, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's going to be above the price point of other soaps there. It's going to be at the top end. Just from the products that just go inside from the packaging to everything else, right? Plastic is always cheaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, the box packaging on the outside is going to be more expensive than the usual one. Yeah. We use different paper that is special because we have a designer in the in the board that is very into the packaging, which we're doing at the moment, repackaging. There's no plastic. It's very high-end paper. We're stamps with slight real gold plating and stuff like that. So even that is going to be
more expensive. Yet. Nice.
My colleagues haven't seen it yet. It's going to be also exciting. A reveal for them.
Okay. And then just because I don't think we put it out there officially yet. So keep your eyes out in January and we'll be sure to, if we have a hard release date or the week of, we'll be sure to share it with our listeners as well. But right now at the time of recording, we wanted to talk to Jens and Peter as soon as possible, knowing that this is in the works. Very close to the end of the finish line, but some last details aren't quite pinned down yet. Either way, though, just from both your descriptions, it's very, very exciting. Very exciting that this is coming to fruition.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I was very excited, and still am excited. Every time, actually, I have the three cents behind my desk in the office, and multiple times a day, I just go there and open them all three, and just start smiling.
That's how you know that you're like really into the shaving.
Yeah,
that's how you know. Just like walk by the bathroom, like, oh, I gotta smell that again. We've all had those moments. So that's it's a special thing, Jens.
Yep,
you're in the club now.
Yes,
that's right.
I would say
it took me long enough.
Just curious, Jens. So like as you're testing the soap, like, and I was just kind of going, learning firsthand about Dovo and the products produced. Do you straight razor shave yourself, or do you use with a cartridge razor? Or there's no judgment here.
What razor you
use? Yeah, but like, what's your what razor or razors do you tend to use when testing the products?
Try to use everything just to test stuff. So double edge most of the time, just because of time for time reasons. Because if I'm in Zolling, like I'm Zolling from Sunday to Thursday, Sunday night, go there, it takes me 6 hours from Munich, and then Thursday night back. So I work in the train, and then once I'm there, it's 5-6 hours of sleep, and the rest is really working on the business. And then I don't sleep that much. I say, okay, double edge, it's fine. Go fast, fast, fast. On the weekends, it's our own razors. And also trying different stuff out, right? You say, okay, the first thing I did was look in forums and see what people think of Dovo, right? If everyone thinks Dovo is shit, there's no way we are going to take over the business and turn it around if everyone perceives it as a bad company and bad product, right? Some were raving about it. Some were saying, okay, not sure why, but it doesn't shave and they make shitty razors, right? But if enough people were really super fans that I said, okay, it's worth it, right? Now we only have to prove that every razor that comes out is the best razor possible, right? They are all perfectly fine to start shaving with. So the first thing was to see, okay, how can we actually objectively measure how good something is? First, we start with razors, right? Not how to do it with soap yet. There it's just a feeling. I shaved my legs, my arms, and everything while trying out the soaps.
Yeah.
So it is subjective, right? Every hair is different. Every hair is thick or thin or curly or something.
Yeah.
So there is, it is always subjective, right? But still, we want something that is at least with the razors as objective as we can go. Because if I send something out as a CEO, I'm in charge that the client is 100% happy. Same goes for soap, right? If I have a soap in my portfolio, it has to be the best, right? If someone sends it back, I really, really want to know what's wrong with it, right? Is it that the scent is not fine, which is fine, right? Because that's also subjective, but everything else should be the best out there. And for the razors, it's really hard to do. So in the beginning, we went out to companies that have machines to measure cutting knives, so for kitchen knives and stuff like that, right? How do you measure it? Most is with optical processes, right? Mm-hmm. Where stuff gets sent in, different colors, it reflects. Depending on the reflection, you can see if there's if the angle is perfect, if there's tiny cracks or something, that's fine, right? But the angle is different for cutting knives for kitchen, for example, right? Yeah. Or for tactical knives.
Yeah.
For straight razors, it's a different story. The angle is different, and the optical processes for measuring the sharpness and the goodness of the blade don't really work. So we went to the companies that do it for other knives. They said, we can't do it. Sorry. But I still want to do it. So we found an institute that developed a machine for us that can actually do it without destroying the knife. Because optical things don't work. You have to have something else. Mm-hmm. And for not measuring every product, those things exist, right? You have a denormed paper or paper layers. You cut with the same force. You see how far it goes through. You do that, I don't know, 500 times and see, okay, how much papers can it do after 500 times and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So they exist, but then the razor is destroyed. And if you really want to measure every single razor that goes out to be 100% sure that everything that comes out is 100% quality assured, you have to figure out how to do it without destroying the razor, even if you measure it 50 times, which was really, really hard. So we found a substrate now that is super, it's half automatic, so people still have to do something, and it's quite cost intensive because it's time intensive. But it's the first version of the product where we can actually measure the whole length of the razor and see the tiniest crack that you see with the 500, 500 times
magnification.
Magnification. Thank you for the words. Thank you for this. And it's super, super interesting, right? Because if you tap the table just slightly, like an ant almost with the feet, you can see it in the measurements. So everything now that we send out is going to be 100% measured, and we can actually guarantee and even send them measuring curves. Every razor that goes out, right? We're going to have a serial number at the back. You can look at the serial number, you get a certificate, you get the measurements, and especially get the measurement curve from back to front, which is quite exciting, which before it was just, okay, we say it was good. Others say it's bad, right? Cool. Please send it back. We look at it. We still think it's perfect, right? We do tests. Now we actually have something where we can say, okay, everything that goes out is the best that can be.
Okay.
And that's with every razor going out.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
We were starting with the super high-end ones because it's still version one of the machine, meaning it takes lots of time. From the massive razors that we manufacture, it's too time-consuming at the version one. So the high-end razors and the limited editions are going to be with the certificate. But throughout the year, next year, hopefully until mid-next year, it's going to be every razor with the serial number, just with luxury watches.
Yeah.
And with a certificate that actually shows the measurements.
Wow.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That machine did not exist.
100% not, no. Right. And the institute said, okay, we're going to be, because they're specialized on measuring very sharp objects. And they said, look, we have machines here. We can adapt them and stuff like that. So it's going to be probably taking 3 to 4 months. Put in the contract, had a price on there. It's a fixed price, not an hourly price. And it took them 10 months later, they delivered the product. Oh, he was such a big pain because it never worked, right? Because it's super, super hard to actually measure a straight razor's sharpness objectively. And there were so many co-founding factors and stuff like that. Now we have a perfectly replicable measuring curve. You can make the slightest crack, right? You take a knife and make a very, very tiny dent to your nail, for example, and you can see it quite extremely on the measurement curve, which is very interesting.
Wow.
And it's especially interesting to measure yourself versus other manufacturers.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's really true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also do tests, right? If we say, okay, look, the certain steps in the manufacturing process, for example, the last lady that does the complete sharpening, right? First, two a bit more coarse stones that are turning very fast, then the two water stones, then the leather with an oxide paste, and then the normal leather. if we alter one step of that process or any other process, right? We can take 10 knives A, 10 knives B, and then do A-B testing and see, okay, which measurements are better. So we can actually improve the process just because now we can actually measure, right? What gets measured, we can actually change. Before that, it was just, okay, we say, or Dovo said, hey, this is a good product. A client gets it, says, it's not good. Now we can actually really test and even increase the quality even further, which is very interesting, I think.
Mm.
That's great. Well, I hope that machine keeps working. Yes. Or I mean, it sounds like there's so far so good.
You have the patent on that machine.
Yeah, we have exclusivity. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
Nice.
So we got a little bit of kind of like a time to hear Yen's background. I don't want to shortchange Peter either. So I know last time you were on the podcast, I want to say it was like last summer. So summer 2020, if that's right. And I know Jared wasn't able to make it for that one. But I guess from then, or even if you just want to give an update, I know a lot of things have happened. I forgot, like, Peter, when did you go full time into...
I think then.
Was it like right? Yeah, was it around then,
right or? Around that time? Probably.
Yeah.
So, I think you guys talked about it.
Yeah, I think about May of 2020.
Okay. Okay. So just after. Right? Yeah.
Was it May of 2020 that I went full time? I think so.
I was hoping you.
If I remember, because I listened to it. Right. Like you said that because of the pandemic.
It kind of forced
you to, you know, to go part time because you had to leave your previous
forced me to go full time.
Yeah, forced you to go full time.
Yeah. So it was in May.
Okay.
And so we moved into this space.
Yep.
And now I'm moving into Jens knows about this. I found a foundry building, which is twice the size.
Oh, really?
That I'll be moving into. I'm going to be buying it. So, a lot's been happening. So, thank God.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. That was a scary time for me because, you know, I'm 58 now. So I was 57, and the pandemic, that was like it probably didn't even peak yet in May of 2020. It wasn't at its peak. And, nobody was working. Everyone was, you know, in their homes. And this was supposed to be my little part-time gig. You know, we were developing a name for ourselves, but this was meant to be my retirement job, you know, to pay the bills and, you know, pay for the groceries. This wasn't meant to be our, you know, main job, but it turned out to be that. And you know, even through this pandemic, we've been growing. So that's thank God for that. And then, of course, you know, this partnership with Jens is just amazing for us. It really is amazing, and a lot of good things have been happening. I just started the Cobra Spit Bomb Tattoo Company. Mm-hmm. And we've been getting sales, so that's I think we're going to do really well with that business, and it just made sense for me to do it because I have all the materials here to be able to make it, so why not? It's not like I have to invest a lot of money into starting this company. I had to invest in making the website and buying the tins and labels. That's pretty much it. Mm. So, and just my time, developing this stuff. So, so I'm looking at that whole, the A&E, I'm hoping down the line, cause I'm going to hand this off to my daughter. I'm hoping that, you know, the shaving shop will always be catering to the wet shaving market. That's our business, right? Wow. The A&E, Ariana Nevins will be a bit different. So I can see the wet shaving part of that business being maybe 40% of the overall business in the coming years.
Okay.
So because of the spreading the tentacles out into different areas, you know, the candles, which I'm getting more into, and the skincare line, and, you know, the spinoff of the Cobra Spit Bomb company. So so a lot has happened over the last, yeah, since the last time that we spoke.
It's a good time to be it's a good time to be into wet shaving, no matter where you're at, I guess.
it's a great time to be in wet shaving, I think. And that's why you're seeing, well, you're seeing also a lot of wet shaving companies, you know, people trying out, you know, making their own soaps, which is, you know, how we started. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great for people to do that and to try their hand at it, because it only improves. I think it gives more options. So choice, having a choice is always the best, right? And it also, by having more options, it makes everyone else better, because you have it, because if you just rest on your laurels, everyone will pass you by. So you can't just sit back. But you have to also be careful. And here's where I like to tinker and I like to develop. That's where my passion is. And so I develop maybe too much. I've pretty much settled on my bases. And then for 2022, we're going to settle on one tallow base, one vegan base, and we're going to have the value line, which is the Pedro Fiasco line. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. So all these different bases, it's not something I had wanted to do, but I did because I just love to develop and I challenge myself. So I'll continue doing that, but I think I'll be doing things like what I've done with Jens. And when I develop something new, it'll be more for white labeling for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to settle on this for now. These are my bases, and I'll announce what we're going to be doing in the new year. But we're just going to have one tallow, one vegan,
okay,
and the value line.
Gotcha. Oh, and just in case those who aren't familiar, and it's also very new, the Cobra Spit Bomb, that is a bomb / moisturizer for tattoos. Is that correct?
Yeah. So originally I was just going to create a bomb. Yeah. So it's a tattoo aftercare. Okay. And it was just going to be a bomb, but it's turned out that it's turned into a body, or not a body butter, but a tattoo butter. So I have it's three products. I have the wash. So immediately, as soon as you get, I don't know if you have tattoos or not, but after you get your tattoo, it's a bit sore, and you know you have to be really careful for the first few days or so. So you want to wash it with something that's not only antimicrobial, antibiotic, but it's not going to dry it out. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to use regular soap. So this will moisturize it, but it also gives you the properties to protect it. So it's a wash. It's a very protective. And then I have step two, which is a salve, and it has tea tree oil in it. It also has emu, and it is very moisturizing. You want to keep it protected. And then after that is the butter, and that just will maintain the tattoo for years to come.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be the start. First, six products, basically, starting in January. So the splash matching the soaps. And then we talked about other products already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to finish them hopefully until mid next year.
That's going to be really exciting. I'm excited.
That's going to be super exciting.
Yeah.
So we were tinkering around with certain materials in the wet shaving space, and want to have the first product together with Peter in that area. Once we get the material, because it's also many months of waiting time, but we figured out certain things that old razors had that new ones don't. But everyone thinks it's the same from the material. And we actually did an analysis of the different materials and found out, okay, it's actually a bit different what was used 60, 70, 80 years ago. And we're relaunching something in that area with an own design with Peter together was super, super interesting. So it's also, it feels different. And me as a junior in this area, I tried many old razors from us, new razors from us, from other companies and from other small shops or one person shops. And the new material that we've been testing is quite interesting because we had only a handful of them that we made as a prototype. And I thought, okay, it's not something that is used and people a good reason why it's not used, but then we used it and it is pretty, pretty amazing of how it feels on the skin. And we're gonna talk about it next year, but we're waiting for our companies to deliver us the material and then send stuff over. But working with Peter is very easy, almost too easy. Like I said, with the soda was basically he sent three things over, and we did another round, and then we have the final product. Right? Normally, that it's not that easy. Normally, it's you tinker back and forth, and there's miscommunication because also there's a language barrier a bit and stuff like that. But it was really almost too easy. Right now, we have a product. Right? It was almost.
I mean, you kind of started off well already. So I mean, since you already tried his products. You know, there is so much that you didn't have to discuss, you know, because you already had an idea of it. So, I mean, like I said, it's pretty exciting for 2022.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And well, just from the first talk with Peter, for me, it was clear that I think it's the right part because what he did in such a short time is insane. That's warp speed. doing so many things at the same time is super hard because you always get distracted with other stuff, right? And running a business plus developing the product plus going to new product areas. With digital products, that's hard. With physical products that are also not just, right? It's also hard, right? But if you build something together, that's one thing. If you have a chemical component and scent component and a subjective component and then different temperatures and you have to transport it through different temperatures and moisture levels. Mm-hmm. And it still has to be good. And right, that's really, really, really hard. I think people sometimes that are not into the material too much, that just consume a product and say, okay, this is good or nice, but don't go into the detail, underestimate how much work and skill actually goes into perfecting something like that. Mm. And for me, if I look at all the products I tested, I learned to appreciate how much better for me, right? Everything's subjective, but for me, the products are that Peter developed. It's just, it's a different league, I think. And doing many, many things at the same time, like moving his shop or manufacturing facility, I think what, four times?
This will be the fourth, and a half years. The fourth move. Each like year, I move.
Moving addict.
Love but moving. Moving large machinery all over the place.
You have to stop making it look so easy.
Yeah.
You have to look like you're
look bad. It's not easy. Please. It's not so easy. I mean, I'm like Jens. I don't sleep. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's a 7 day a week, 18 hour a day job. You know, hopefully at some point, I won't have to work like this. But when you have your own business, or if you're a CEO of a business, especially, you know, Jens, you took it over. It's still, you know, you're still new at this, right? It's been a year. So you have to put everything into it. You have to put your heart and soul and your sweat and your tears. Everything has to go into it. Because if you don't do it, someone else will. So you have to kind of out hustle yourself, really, and it just work harder than you ever had in your life, especially when it's your own business. I mean, I always worked. It's just the way I was brought up. I always worked hard. But when it's something like this and it's your own, it's your baby. Mm-hmm. And if you fail, not only do you fail, but, you know, you have your house, you have your family, you have food, you have you put on the table, you have your mortgage and your car payments. And, you know, so everything is dependent on the success of the business. So that's a pretty good incentive, I would say. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you sleep, there's two things, right? I know my sister has three kids, and if she doesn't sleep, like if she sleeps 4 to 5 hours or something because the kids are sick or something, it's easier to digest because of your kids than if it's because of someone else forcing something on you, right? It's same with the business.
Right.
That's your baby. if it's because of your baby and you love what you're doing. I know it's super cliche, but the pain is not, either you don't feel it at all or it's a lot
to
digest.
It's bearable.
So I get up more excited. Yeah, much more bearable. I don't drag myself out of my bed.
I'm
super excited and I don't want to go to bed. Right? I work until 2-3 in the morning sometimes because I don't want to go to bed. It's too exciting what I'm doing.
Because it's not a job. Because it becomes a passion. It becomes just a part of you. It's not a job. Yeah. So it's
different. The classic phrase, if you love what you do, you'll never work another day in your life.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah.
That is very true. And there's too many possibilities, right? And Peter shows, right? He goes from, I have a pan and try to do my own soap, my first one, to having a very large business, actually having to move because he outgrows the current location in a very, very short time, right? For what he's doing. And also venturing into new areas like candles and stuff like that. Yeah, there everything is about scents, but still it's different skill sets you need. Also different skill sets for distribution, either B2C or B2B. Plus doing the creative work, it keeps you up and you can't stop thinking about it. And you don't want to stop thinking about it because it's too much fun, right? And especially if you get feedback from outside that it's good what you're doing, that motivates you even more and you sleep even less, which is could be a death spiral if you overdo it.
Right.
For a couple of years, it's a hell of a ride and it's a really good ride. It's super, super fun. Yeah. The area is super, super large, right? It's I have a list that is many, many pages long of one-liners of what I actually want to bring to the market in the next couple of years. And there's patents that are 100 years old, 120 years old, sometimes 70 years old, that are you can develop that product or rebuild that product, and they're super, super smart. And people don't even know them anymore. There's a couple of products that I found in secondhand online stores, in eBay and stuff like that, that I've never seen before. No one writes about. If you look at the brand name or something, you don't find them. But there's a patent behind it. And if you look at all shaving patents, for example, and you go through them one by one because you can't sleep or something, you find gems in there that are insane, where you say, why is this not still on the market, right? And then, and for many things, there's a reason, right? Because it's just a crappy product and it seems good, but then no one will buy it or use it or understands it or uses it wrong or it breaks fast. But some things in there are really gems and they're 100 years old, sometimes 80 years old. And I want to revive those things, right?
That's so cool. I think that's cool.
Yeah,
it could have been the design was ahead of its time, or they had the best design, but they had no idea how to market it. They're designers and they're just geeks, but they have no idea how to promote the product. So no one heard about it, right? That's cool.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that during wartime, you still wanted to be shaved, right? You had to be shaved because if you have a gas mask or something, the gas slips if you don't have a very clean shave.
It's not a nice problem. Yeah, you have to have the seal.
It has to be sealed, right? Or if you're on a ship or something, everything moves. And it was a time of also many people had straight razors. So how do you stop yourself from cutting yourself?
Right.
If stuff shakes and vibrates and you have to be super clean, you can't cut yourself because then if you're in the dirt or something, it can kill you, right? Because you don't have antibiotics and stuff like that. So from very niche things or from things in a different time that people needed during that time, they're actually pretty smart, right? Because it was about survival in that time. But after that time is gone, people forget about the whole thing, right? But if you go back to the to 1910, to 1920, 30, 40, 50, there's some really brilliant stuff that people, I enjoy them, and I'm a newbie in this space. I think many, many other people will enjoy that. So I think in the next couple of years, we have too many products, too little time to do it. I think Peter is from the mindset, he's very similar, right? It's too many ideas, too much fun to actually bring them to market. So, yeah, it's fun.
Yes, I was trying to like look up stuff, and this is maybe a question. You know, it doesn't have to be. I think you know, in the podcast, if we have to cut it, it's great. Just to clarify, when you purchased Adobo, did that include Mercor as well? Because if I understood, like, was it a subsidiary, or was it like also included? Or were they separate? I didn't know the details of that.
Miyako was not part of the insolvency mass. So Miyako does only double-edged razors.
Yes.
Dovo does the straight razors and other stuff and the brushes and stuff like that. And now expanding the portfolio, going into to other markets. But Miyako is a separate entity. They sit in the same location as us.
Yeah, but I just wanted to be sure that there was either a connection or no connection.
It's a different legal entity and a different CEO. Yeah, the old CEO of Dovo is the CEO of Miyako, and we're the largest distributor for them because we have the client base right at Dovo.
Of course.
So we do sell to our B2B clients. We sell both brands. Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, okay.
We are including other top brands in the near future where we already have the partnership set up.
Of course.
Not in the cosmetic space, but in the hardware space, which are super interesting. Also, there's one guy which is completely insane in a good way. If you tell him this cannot be done, we haven't found anyone in Zolling that can do it. And Zolling is full of small and bigger shops that does everything with metal. Everything. Everything you can imagine, right? For I don't know how many years. And if they tell you it can't be done, you believe them, okay, this can't be done, right? In such a precision that you actually need it in different materials from stainless steel and stuff like that. And I met with a guy and said, okay, this can't be done. It was a conversation. And we were talking about two other products, which we were bringing to market with him next year. And one product, I said, look, this, we haven't found anyone who can actually manufacture it. He said, I'll give it a try. A couple of days later, he had the finished product, sent pictures. Like, how did he do it, right? In the country where he's from, there's two machines that can do what he actually, what is needed, right? And it doesn't exist in Germany. There's one, but it's completely booked out for the next couple of years. And then he knows one of them pretty well, and he managed to actually build a product that actually we want to bring out next year. So we want to work together with people that are a bit obsessed, not just a bit, but completely obsessed with what they're doing, and are trying to find our tribe of equal-minded people to gather around each other and bring out amazing products in collaboration. So
I think this is one of those cases where you have to, because if you're not obsessed with it, then you're just going to be slowing everyone else down.
Yeah. And most companies, right, are bigger companies or something, they say, okay, this is, they say it's not possible without even trying, right? Which I'm not the, if someone tells me, no, this doesn't work, I will not sleep for a week to prove it is possible. If it's not possible, it's fine. I can sleep, right? Which is good. Now I know it doesn't work. But otherwise, don't tell me something can't be done, because everything can be done somehow, I believe, right? And to find other people that say, okay, look, that it's the, there's different mentality. Right? Is it the challenger mentality where you need to challenge someone to completely accelerate? And I'm somehow in that area. If someone says, look, Dovo isn't savable because of X, then I'm interested. Someone tells me,
gotcha,
this is going to be super hard. You're not from the industry. I say, okay, it's on. Now I really want to do this. And he was the same guy. He's
okay.
You give him problems and then he starts to really get at it. And the products that are coming out, the first pictures that we get and the first prototypes that we have, they're insane. It's like a luxury watch almost from the details.
Wow.
Watchmakers work for him that do those products, that do the finishings and the detail work. And I love that, right? Normally you say, okay, it's a product that where other products, they exist for 1-2 euros from China or from India. And you can order right away from Alibaba. And there's someone selling it for 100, 200, 500, 700 times more, and people are willing to pay for it because it's art. It's not a product, it's art. And many things are in the watch space that go in that direction, right? There's people that are completely freaks that build extremely complicated watches and as one person sometimes, and no one knows how they do it. And I love that. Passion for something for over decades, very specific, very nichey, and where they can actually say, okay, in this part, I'm the best in the world at that. And I really love that. And I want to find people that we can actually work with on different topics, also for different, the next Chevette. which will also come next year with a very special material combination and very versatile. So barbers will want to use it. We actually developed it with excellent barbers in Germany. But also the barbers are freaks of nature. They're insanely good at what they do. If you get your haircut and your beard trimmed, it's magic. And I want to develop products with them, right? Together with them, and then a designer.
You're reminding me. I need to make an appointment for my.
You have to come to Munich. I need to line up.
Yes, please fly out to Munich and firsthand get a great firsthand experience.
By the way, everyone who is listening, I invite to actually visit our facilities. I really enjoy getting people an insight into how we're doing it, what we're doing it. Peter has to still come.
Now I'm flying out.
It's super, super interesting because the first time I actually went in there, I said, okay, I'm going to get out of here and never come back because the building we were in is 115 years old and so much stuff builds up and up and up, right? It's like with an apartment where Messi lives. For me, it was just, okay, I'm getting short breath. I have to get out of here, right? Now it's a bit clean up and it actually makes sense. And it's super, super interesting, right? The oldest machines are 115 years old and they still work. They're more used than the newer machines. And just getting from the process of the raw material from the forge into something that you can cut a hair lengthwise is super, super interesting. So everyone who wants to come, please come. I had many people already come and I take the time. I go there 1 or 2 hours and explain every minute detail. I really enjoy it, especially enjoy the feedback of everyone using our products. So write me also if you like. Call me.
I just followed you on Twitter, by the way. Just while you're having our conversation. Like...
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and thank you so much. I mean, I think it's not every day you get to go and get a little bit of background history, especially like you said, it's over a century old, and just to have a firsthand look and just to see it. Like, this is these are where the products are manufactured, how it happens, and all that. So I really, thank you for inviting us and our listeners for that potential experience.
The future is bright.
The future is bright, yes.
And sharp.
For all of us, and sharp. Sharper than ever. Objectively sharp, not subjectively sharp.
From right.
All right, guys. Well, I think we've talked past the hour that we were aiming for, but really just really inspiring. I think both of you do have a very similar mentality, Jens, that you're looking for other, other people to partner with, to work with, who have that similar kind of like won't say no. You guys are problem solvers. It's to say you're ambitious isn't quite the full, that's not quite the full picture. It's not just ambition, but I think there's real passion and enthusiasm there. So it's been such a pleasure talking to you guys. If the next project, when it's coming to roll out, please, we are more than happy to have you guys back on. I know both of you, even just separately for Dovo and for Andy, have Jan said you have a whole notebook of just things you want to bring to market. So, anytime, we'd love to have you guys back on.
Great.
Thank you so much for the time and setting this up. Really interesting.
Of course.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, thank you guys. So, thank you so much for your time, and good luck as the soaps are kind of coming to the end stages. I know there's always with the supply chain other hiccups. We just wish that things go as smoothly as possible, and we really look forward to the launch in January. All right. Well, thank you again for tuning into today's episode of Lather Talk. You can find links for Dovo, Ariana and Evans, John and Gerard in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, you can help out the show by leaving a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts. And if you're watching on YouTube, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. We hope you'll join us next episode, where we will finally be having the rescheduled Lather Talk Awards, where Gerard and I will share our favorite wet shaving gear from the previous year. Take care, and we hope to see you then.